Hey, praise the Lord. Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Good to be with all of you this morning again. Thank the Lord for the opportunity to be out here in His house. I thought about going on with what I had a little bit of a little sermon like Wednesday night, but I wanted to start by going on with that this morning. But the Lord had changed my mind during the week because I've been praying for Tink, been praying that the Lord had this touch. You know, you've been there, right? You've been there. How many of you have ever felt like you've had your prayers hindered? I think we could all say that. Amen? I think we could all say that. Well, during that time as I was praying about it and thinking about that stuff, the Lord just gave me some things. I want to talk to you this morning about things that can hinder our prayers. He showed me things. Because you know what, brothers? I believe we need to take inventory once in a while.
Amen.
You know, we need to take inventory once in a while. Because, you know, what's going on here? Amen? Well, he sent me to some scripture. It's pretty kind of revealing in a way. But I've never used this as far as talking about prayer. And I know Ken had been teaching in Daniel, but I'm going to be preaching out of Daniel 10 this morning. Daniel 10, and I'm going to read the first 9 verses. And if you would, Daniel 10, we're going to read 1 through 9. And as I read this, I want you to understand God is peeling back and letting us take a peek inside of a realm that we can't see. He's pulling back the curtain and letting us look at this. And I mean, you know what I feel about this. I know there's a spiritual realm, and then there's this realm we're in today. This realm that you and I can see, but there's so much more to this, brothers and sisters, than what we can see. Anyway, let's read the first, if you would, if you're there, let's stand if you can this morning. Let's read the first 9 verses. In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a thing was revealed unto Daniel. Doesn't say what that thing was, but it was revealed, whose name was Belteshazzar, and the thing was true, but the time appointed was long. And he understood the thing and had understanding of the vision. In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth, neither did I anoint myself at all till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. And in the 24th day of the first month, as I was beside the great river, which is Hiddekel, which is the Tigris, by the way, then I lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with fine gold of Upas. His body also was like the beryl, and his face as that appeared of lightning, and his eyes as the lamps of fire, and his arms and his feet like the collar to polished brass, and the voice of his words like the voice of a multitude. Now, I'm going to stop right there just for a second. Now, doesn't that remind you of what over in Revelations? Right? We're talking about, we're talking about Jesus here. This is what I feel we're talking about right here. But then the scene changes. And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, for the men that were with me saw not the vision, but a great quaking fell upon them, so that they fled to hide themselves. Therefore, I was left alone and saw the great vision, and there remaineth no strength in me, for my comeliness was turned in me into corruption, and I retained no strength. Yet heard I the voice of his word. When I heard the voice of his word, then was I in a deep sleep on my face, and my face toward the ground. Let us pray. Father, as we come, Lord, this morning, I pray, Father, that, Lord, that you would be with us this morning, be with this service this morning. I pray that you would open up the hearts and the minds of those that are here this morning. And I ask you, Father, Lord, that you would just anoint my lips. and the Father that this would go out the exact way that you would want it to go out, not the way that I want it. Father, I want it the way that you want it this morning, and I pray that it would touch hearts and minds, and we ask it in Jesus' holy and precious name, and amen. Amen. You may be seated. I thank you. Thank you. I would say that if all of us would confess to do things that we do of excess sometimes. Am I right? Sometimes, do you not agree with me, maybe we eat too much. Sometimes, maybe we're on our computers or maybe we're on our phones too much. All of us, maybe we watch TV too much. I don't know. Maybe we worry too much. I could just go right on down the line. Maybe there's things that we do in excess sometimes. But I may be wrong, but I can say this morning, there's probably not too many of us that complain about praying too much. Amen? I don't think so. It's probably never, Rodney, has it ever the reason for you being late for work because you were praying too much? No. I'm not picking on you. Don't get, you know, I'm making a point here. I'm making a point. Ken, have you ever been late to work because you've been praying too much? Greg? Me? No. Well, I can go right on around the room here, and I can probably ask everybody in here, you've probably never been late for work. Teachers, the ones that are in here, has anybody ever had an excuse that they did not get a paper turned in because they were praying too much? Patty, you ever had that? No. And I guess my point is, whenever I'm saying that, I'm getting to this. Or the reason you didn't, listen, I don't know of anyone who says they pray too much. All of us understand we need to pray more. That includes me. I'm not pointing my finger at nobody in here. I'm just telling you, I believe anybody in here would say that we need to pray more. You know what? Because you know what? It's communication with God. There's not a one of us in here that does not need to communicate more with God. Am I right, Christians? We know that. We need to communicate with Him. It's a chance for us to get on our knees and make contact for the creator of this world out here, for the creator of the universe. It's a chance for us to get on our knees and to make contact with Him. Is that right? I think we'd all agree with that. You know, Philippians 4:6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication and with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. He wants us to make our requests known to Him. I've said this quite a bit. We're encouraged to make our needs known to Him. And I say this quite a bit. Don't give it, just bear with me on this a little bit. We need to be specific about what we're praying for. I've said that lots of times. We come up here and we do it. And I feel that we need to do that. He said to make our requests known. But also, we are to be listeners. Amen? We can be on our knees asking for things all the time. But how many times are we listening to what God is trying to get across to us? Psalms 46:10 says this, be still. That's hard. Can I have an amen? Be still and know that I am God. Have you ever been on your knees and praying and just listen to see if He talks to you through the Spirit? See if He's talking to you through His Word? Be still and listen to what He has to say. John 10:27 says this, my sheep do what? They hear my voice. Am I right? Christians, my sheep hear my voice. Don't tell me God doesn't communicate to you. He does it in different ways, but you will know His voice. You'll know when the Spirit is talking to you. You'll know that. Be still, know that I'm God. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they do what? They follow me. That's what they do. Prayer is both to make a list, and prayer is also to listen. I want us to understand that this morning. Amen. I believe in making lists. If you got prayer lists, my wife takes prayer lists down all the time. You'll see her over there writing when people are writing, and that's what she prays for down through the week. I encourage everybody, make a list. If people are in here asking for prayer, make a list. Pray for them down through the week. That's what they're asking you to do. But anyway, here, prayer is both a list and to listen. Here's my needs, here's my request, and here's my desires, Lord. Right? We've got needs, we've got stuff that we need to do, and we have desires that we pray for. Don't act self-righteous. Do we not have desires sometimes that we pray for? Yes, we do. Absolutely. And being able to be still and to hear what he has to say back is extremely important. It's extremely important. Inclining our ears. Joshua 24:23 says it this way. Incline your heart unto the Lord, God of Israel. Incline your hearts. Listen. Now, if everything we prayed for happened just exactly the way we prayed, let me ask you a question. Would you be more motivated to pray? Huh? If everything went exactly the what you prayed for, Belinda, would you be more motivated to pray? Be honest with me. Oh, yeah. We have to start Prayer Anonymous in here. Amen? We would have people wanting to pray all the time. We'd have to drag them out of here, Greg, off this altar. Am I right? Absolutely. If prayer was like the Powerball, and you went to play the Powerball, and every time you played, you won. If prayer was like that, I guarantee you, you'd be on your knees 24/7. Amen? I believe so. You know, every time you went, if prayer was like that, how motivated would you be? I would say you'd be quite a bit motivated. My tongue firmly in cheek. The prayer was answered if you named it and claimed it like some people do. If they did it like that, we would have to start a support group in here. We would. That's just the way I feel. But the reality is that prayer doesn't work that way. It just doesn't work that way. So when we don't always get what we want, when we want it, discouragement sometimes sets in. I'm telling you, I'm being honest with you as your pastor this morning. There are times when I'm praying and it seems like things just don't always go the way I want them, Alita. I get discouraged sometimes. Nobody else in here ever done that? I have. I get discouraged sometimes. I'll be honest with you. And so there in turn, now the scripture I read this morning gives us another glimpse into Daniel's prayer life. Why God sent me down this path, I don't know, but we're going to talk about this morning. I'm going to talk to you about some things that hinder our prayer lives. And as we look at the scripture, we can learn not only about his prayer life, but also about prayer in general and about some things that can hinder our prayers as Christians. Chapter 10 of Daniel is very unique in that aspect. It's very unique. I tell you, as I read it sometimes, and I've read it from time to time in the past, it just amazes me and gives me such an insight into what's going on in the spiritual realm. And you know, back in Daniel 10, what we can learn from Daniel's 10 prayer life, number one, we learned that Daniel was persistent on a non-persistent spirit could hinder, or that non-persistent, the spirits can hinder our prayer lives. Did you know that? Listen to what it says here. It tells me in verse 2 and 3, let's read it again. In those days I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. I ate no pleasant bread, neither flesh nor wine in my mouth, neither did I anoint myself at all till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. 21 days, Daniel prayed and he fasted. Now, some commentaries think that maybe it wasn't quite a full fast. There's others that believe it was a full fast. You know, just by reading the scriptures and just going down through other things that they got into. I'm telling you, Daniel prayed and he fasted for 21 days. Now, neither did I anoint myself. He didn't even take a bath for 21 days. That's how dedicated he was to trying to find an answer for what he was praying about. He never ate. It says he never drank, according to what I can read. I'm just telling you what I'm getting out of what I get out of commentaries on this, and that's just me. And he didn't take a bath for 21 days. He wanted an answer for his prayer. Now, I may venture to guess to you guys here this morning, I don't know. I've never fasted for 21 days. I never have. I never have prayed consistently for one thing for 21 days. I'm laying it out there to you. I'm being honest with you as your pastor this morning. But you know what? What would it take if you really wanted an answer to something? If you really, he was going to pray until he got an answer one way or another. He is saying, I am not giving up. I'm not giving up. Listen to me. I believe that our prayers, I believe this, our prayers go beyond us. Patty, when you're going, those grandsons you've been praying for, it goes on. It doesn't quit. It keeps on going. You praying for something out there today, I'm telling you, keep on praying. Keep a hold of the horns of the altar for those people that are lost. And be persistent. If anything else, Daniel should show you, Daniel 10 should show you, he was persistent. He was persistent. He was going to pray until he got an answer. Good lesson for all of us. Unrelenting should be our resolve as well. Are you unrelenting this morning? Or do you just throw out a prayer out there and say, well, Lord, you know, whatever. And then don't even think about it till the next time it pops up, maybe 2 or 3 weeks down the road. No. If you're wanting an answer to a prayer, how serious are you about getting that answer? How serious are you? My Bible says in some things don't come out but by prayer and fasting. And you know, if you're like me, and I'm just talking about me, and I don't say this in a funny way, but I could fast. And I need to fast more. Amen? Luke 18:1, and he spake a parable unto them this end, that men ought what to do? Men ought always to pray and not to faint. That's in red in your Bibles, if you've got a red letter edition, by the way. That's what Jesus is saying. Men ought to pray and not to faint. What's he saying? Don't give up. Don't give up. And he ends it this way in Luke 18:8. If you go over and finish it, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? He wants us to be relentless. He wants us to be that. I encourage you to study the verses between 1 and 8, and because I don't have time to get into all of it this morning, but I'm telling you, he wants us to be relentless in our prayer life. And when it comes to our prayer, unrelenting should be our motto. It should not just be a catchphrase. We should be unrelenting in what we're praying for, if nothing else. Another important lesson that we learn from Daniel 10 is there is an unseen warfare sometimes that hinders our prayers. There is. Brothers and sisters, there's an unseen warfare that hinders our prayers. What happens on the other side of prayer? Let me ask you this. What happens after you've been on your knees and you've prayed and you've sent up that prayer, after you get up off your knees, what happens then? Do you all realize that there are spiritual forces out there that do not want your prayers answered? Do you understand it? You read Daniel 10 and you will see, what I mean is, what is being set in motion, what forces are set in motion hinder our prayers from time to time. We are surrounded by angels and demons. You may not see them. Matter of fact, you may never see them. But I'm telling you, they are there and they are real. How do I know that? Because the Bible tells us that they're there. Elijah asked his servant's eyes to be opened. And in 2 Kings chapter 6, it says it this way. And he answered, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. And Elijah prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Bible goes on to say, and the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full, it says, of chariots of fire, of angels, of chariots of fire. The ones, listen, brothers, you may think that I'm crazy, you may think that I'm nuts, but I'm here to tell you today, we are surrounded by demons and angels today. We're surrounded. In Hebrews, it tells us this: be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware. Amen? Sometimes you don't never know. You don't never know. We have entertained angels unaware. The scripture in both the Old and New Testament tells us that demons can manifest themselves through possession of individuals or through animals. They do that. There is a battle going on all around us, and we can't see it, but there are times we see the results of it. Can I have an amen? We look at the craziness going on out here in this world. We see the results of it. Daniel 10 through 13. Behold, a hand touched me, which set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands. The scene's changed. We're going from Christ. We're going now to an angel that has said, how do you know that, Dave? Because the angel tells him to stand up. Whenever you see the incarnate God or you see or Jesus, you're going to be on your face. You're going to be down to worship. Angels didn't want worshiped. He told him to stand up. What messenger was it? Some say it was Gabriel. I don't know. It doesn't say here. But I'm telling you, it was a messenger of God. And it goes on to say this. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright, for unto thee I am sent. And when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. And then he said unto me, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that you prayed, from the first day that you prayed, I was sent with the answer. 21 days later, the answer still hadn't come. Can I have an amen? How many days have we prayed for something in our lives and the answer hasn't come yet? Brothers, sisters, I want you to understand something. God is never late. Jesus was 4 days, not at the grave, but he never was late. He came, and Lazarus was risen from the tomb. I'm telling you, keep on praying. But it says from day one, from the first day that thou didst set thy heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard. And I am come for thy words. Now read verse 13. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. But lo, this messenger angel needed help from the archangel. And it goes on to say, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me. Now, the prince of the kingdom of Persia is not a man. I hope everybody understands that here. I'm going to tell you something that I believe stands to this day. There are demons, there are angels that are set over every nation. They are set there to cause havoc, to cause... Listen, in Hades, 60% of that nation is voodooism. And they have all kind of trouble down there in that nation. Am I right? They have all kind of natural disasters. Listen to me. One day, Jesus is coming back, and he's going to set it all right. There won't be these things set over these nations that are set there. It says he said that the prince of the kingdom of Persia, this angel had to battle with this thing, and he said to continue to battle. That's why he could not get to Daniel with the answer. How many times have we prayed and our answer has not been there? How many times have these forces come against our prayers trying not to get to where we could not get them answered? I'm telling you, this stuff is real. Daniel's prayers were heard from day one, and the answer was sent on day one. But what happened? The answer was hindered. There was a spiritual battle. The spiritual battles exist today. Can I tell you that? Please understand that today. Spiritual battles are out there today. Is it relevant today? Yes, it is. And I know I've used this scripture a lot, but there is so much going on around us that, you know what, if we can comprehend it, it can give us answers to the craziness going on in the world. And that's Ephesians 6:12. I think everybody, I don't know if you're not saved or if you're ears saved, but you need to look at that scripture because it'll answer a lot of questions for you. Ephesians 6:12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. I'm telling you, the people out here in this world are not the enemy. You may think that they are, but they're not. They're being influenced. He said, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Brothers and sisters, this goes beyond man-made governments. It goes beyond them. It goes way beyond them. The true nitty-gritty of this verse is just simply this, that nations are those that are in charge of being influenced by these spiritual beings, and they can't see them, and they can't comprehend how they're being influenced. And brothers, it's happening as well in this nation as well. I'm going to tell you something, and I just bear with me on this a little bit. In the northeast of the United States, I'm talking about the northeast countries of the United States, at one time, two of the biggest revivals in this nation broke out, started up in there. Started up in the New England state, started up there. Do you know what Christian colleges were started up there at the time? Dartmouth, Yale, Harvard. I can go right on down the list. Those were all Christian colleges at one time. Now they're secular. And now you see what has happened. I'm just laying it out here to you. At one time, two of the biggest revivals in the world started up there. And look at what's going on now in this nation. Listen, I believe regions have demons, and I believe regions have angels, and I believe there's battles going on all the time trying to get this stuff. And I'm telling you, like I said, one day when Christ comes back to set it right, that's when it'll all be right. Some of these demons have been set up by their god Satan, because he is the god of this world. They've been set up like that, and they've blinded the mind of them that believe not. They're territorial demons, and they've been assigned to certain country, regions, and cities. Their job is to influence and to oppress them, the evil areas, and the people that live in them. And I can tell you that it is doing a good job of it out there today. This is why so many countries are so spiritually dark and full of tragedy. Absolutely. Look at what the messenger angel tells Daniel in verse 2, chapter 10. Chapter 10, verse 20. Then said he, knowest thou whenceforth I come unto thee. Now listen to what he tells him. I will return to fight the prince of Persia. He's going back to finish the fight against that demon. He said, return to finish that fight. And when I'm going forth, lo, the prince of Grecia will come forth. Who was that? That's Greece. 200 years later, we know what happened there. Alexander the Great come through, and they took over all the known world. But listen, that battle lasted all that time. It lasted, and it's still going on to this day. I could go into more over in Revelations. There's a bunch more over in Revelations where it talks about, I believe it's in about the 10th or 11th chapter when it's talking about the ten heads, whatever it is. But anyway, seven of them have already come to pass. That's part of all these kingdoms that have come into pass. Listen to brothers and sisters, listen. They have been taking control over these nations down through the years. It wasn't Daniel's fault. His prayer wasn't answered from day one. You can be living for and serving the Lord here today, and these principalities and these powers and these rulers of darkness could be hindering your prayers. They'll do anything in their power to hinder your prayers. But eventually Daniel's was answered. Always remember this. A prayer delayed is not always a prayer denied. Can I have an amen? It's not always that. I waited patiently for the Lord. And he inclined unto me. And he did what? He heard my cry. The third thing I want to talk about is unconfessed sin can hinder a prayer. I'm going to go off of Daniel just a little bit here, so just bear with me. Isaiah 59:2. But your iniquities have separated you between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, and he will not, say that with me, not hear. If you're here today and you do not know Jesus as your Savior, The only prayer that he wants to hear from you is a prayer of repentance.
Amen.
That's it. I've been at places where people have, you know, they never went to church in their life, never confessed to know anything about God and Jesus, and cuss like a sailor, proverbial sailor. I mean, I apologize to any sailors in here. But yet, when it come right down to, oh man, let's pray. Let's pray. I was kind. I never said that you're going to hear your prayers. I said, okay, I'll pray. I'm here to tell you, if you're lost, if you're undone, if you've not had the blood applied to your life, if you're backslidden, I'm telling you today, he will not hear your prayers. David agreed in Psalm 66, 18, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Underline the word regard in your Bibles whenever you're there at that scripture. The Hebrew word for regard means to give attention to or to coddle. That's what it means. If you are overprotective of a sin, if you are coddling that sin, big deal. Everyone else is doing it. Have you ever heard that? Big deal. That's fine. You leave me alone. You don't judge me. If you're going to coddle that, I'm telling you right now, you don't have to worry about your prayers getting answered unless you're on your knees for a prayer of forgiveness. Listen, good part about this is in Psalms 32:5, it says this. Listen to me. I acknowledge my sin unto thee. My iniquities have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgivest the iniquities of my sin. Amen? Amen? He'll do that. That's the kind of God we serve. The fourth thing that hinders prayer. Now listen, I took inventory about this week, is unforgiveness. Jesus said in Mark 11, 25 and 26, and when ye stand praying, forgive if ye have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you of your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive you of your trespasses. If you're harboring unforgiveness in your heart and you're thinking that you're praying for stuff, I'm telling you, it's not working. You've got to get the unforgiveness out of there. It's got to be out of there. Our prayers will not be honored if we don't practice forgiveness. Matthew 6:15 says this, but if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither shall your Father forgive you of your trespasses. I mean, that's just... I'm talking to you about things that will hinder your prayers. Uncaring attitudes. Did you know that? An uncaring attitude will hinder your prayers. Proverbs 21:13 says this, whoso stoppeth his ears at the cry of the poor. Now I want you to listen to this. This is pretty telling. He also shall cry himself, but shall not be heard. All them people, I'll tell you what, they deserve what they get. They deserve everything that they get. They live like that because they want to live like that. Have you heard that? Unfortunately, I've heard that out of Christians sometimes. I'm here to tell you, my Bible tells me that if you're going to have that kind of an attitude about it, don't expect your prayers to be answered. Don't expect it. We cannot have an uncaring attitude. We cannot do that. If you're crying out to the Lord on behalf of your own needs, which is okay, the Bible says to do that. But like Philippians 4:6 says, but if we are doing that and turning a blind eye or a deaf ear to those in need around us, we are hindering our prayers. Deuteronomy 15:11 says this, for the poor shall never cease out of the land. Brothers and sisters, we can start all kinds of programs in this country. We can start them. Thank God for some of them. They're helping people, I'm sure. They are. But brothers and sisters, the poor will never cease to exist in this nation or around the world. It's just not going to happen. The Bible tells us that it's not going to happen. And the more the population gets, the more we grow closer to the end when he's coming back, it's going to get worse. For the poor shall never cease out of the land. Therefore, I command thee, saying, thou shalt open thy hand wide unto thy brother, to thy poor and to thy needy in thy land. Jesus said in Matthew 25, "Then shall the king say unto them on the right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungered, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee that hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, and naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and come unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto him, Verily I say unto you, as much as you've done it to one of the least of these, my brethren." What did he say? "You've done it unto me."
Amen.
I tell the story about preacher at 14th Avenue one time. I told this, and he did this. It's true. He hadn't been at the church very long. He dressed up like a bum. I mean, he dressed up like a bum. He did it good. I'm telling you, he did it good. And he laid up there. If you've ever been to 14th Avenue, it lays down a street, and there's a stop sign. Well, he laid out there in the stop sign out there, just laid out there with a little cup and with the little things. And he Sunday morning, and as his people come into church, they walk right on by. Oh, yeah. They walk right on by. Only one person stopped and asked him if he needed any help. And there's 160, almost 200 to 180 people go to that church. One person stopped. You should have seen their face when he come walking into church. Walked up behind the pulpit, opened his Bible to that scripture right there, and he preached. Can I tell you, the altar was full that morning. The altar was full that morning. I'm here to tell you, brothers and sisters, listen, this is more. You want your prayers hindered? Have an uncaring spirit about you. Have an uncaring spirit about you. Unacceptable motives. And this is one, James 4:3. Ask, ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it with your own lust. Are you praying for your own benefit? I would think that all human beings are selfish at their core, right? Take a 2 or 3 year old and have him have his toys and have a neighbor come over with their toys. Mine, 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 mine. He didn't have to learn that, did he? That's in all of us. That's in all of us. We're selfish at nature because you know what? What happened back in the garden? Whenever that fall came, it put all this stuff into us. And it's there. We've never been, you know, and unfortunately that can happen in our prayer lives as well. We can become selfish. It's all about me, about what I want, what makes me happy. Again, there's nothing wrong with making our requests known. We just have to make sure that when we're making these requests known, we should always refer to the will of God. Always refer to the will of God. I believe in praying for people that are sick, and I pray for them, and I tell you all the time, pray in faith believing. Pray in faith believing. I know it's God's will. But we pray in faith believing. God, you know, if it's your will, you can heal. We got to keep praying. Stay right after it. But we've got to understand it's not. Matthew 6:5. And when thou prayest, the model prayer says this: thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. That's Jesus telling us how to pray, showing us how to pray. Jesus gave us the best example of this in the Garden of Gethsemane, did he not? What did he say? Thou then saith he unto them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful unto death. Tarry ye here, watch with me. And he went a little further, and he fell on his face and prayed, saying, O Father, if it possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, what did he say? Not as I will, but as thy will. If Jesus, the one that died for us, can say, not my will, but yours, we better be saying it. 1 John 5:14, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his what? His will. He hears us. Didn't say he's going to answer, but he said he hears us. And then he takes it down from there. So what's the opposite of the scripture? If it's not in his will, what's he do? He doesn't even hear us. Amen? Your prayers are hindered. And the last thing I want to talk about, I want to talk to husbands and wives, because this is what the scripture says. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel. That doesn't mean that that woman is weaker mentally. It doesn't mean that. It just, what it's trying to get across there is, as far as physical nature goes. And as being heirs together of the grace of life, your prayers be not hindered. If there's this in your marriage, I'm just telling you, your prayers aren't going to be answered. He wants us to be like this. Why? He wants us to be that way at a church. I told you Wednesday night, we're all from the same womb, right? Amen. We're all from the same womb. He wants us, our prayers to be like this. In our house, at our church. My brother says, if it's not like this at the house, it ain't going to be this way at the church. It's just not going to be. But he tells us that. You want your prayer. I laid out some things there that I feel can hinder your prayer life. There may be others. There's some good Bible scholars in here. You can dig into it more if you want to. But I'm here to tell you those are the things that the Lord showed me. I took inventory. I'm asking you, are you taking inventory this morning? Is your prayer life hindered? For whatever reason, take inventory. See for something like that. That's what this altar's for. No one's going to judge you. No one's going to judge you. As a matter of fact, I'm going to have Julie, I'm going to have her do an overhead right here now. I'm going to get on my knees right here and I'm going to pray. And if anybody wants to come up here and pray with me this morning. Julie, please.